All right, in 1 Corinthians 15, I want to start at the beginning. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you. Gospel meaning good news. Now, really take this apart and listen to what it's saying. I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you have received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. Now, I want you to look at this very closely. What is this seeming to tell you? Let me read it again. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel, the good news, that I preached to you, which you have received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. If you have believed in vain, let's look at this now. If you have believed in vain, that means your belief, if it stops, got you nothing. If you do not hold faith until you receive something, welcome, Gary. If you do not hold on to faith until you receive what you're standing in faith for, if you throw away your confidence before you get what you're standing in faith for, then your faith was in vain. How many of you understand that, seriously? Let me say it again. If you throw away your confidence or your faith in what you are standing in faith for before you receive it, then all the faith that you have used up to that point was in vain. That means that it got you nothing. This verse, you don't need anything else in the whole of Scripture. I mean, we have plenty of other things in the whole of Scripture to tell you that the doctrine of eternal security is nothing and it's wrong. But you don't need any other verse in the Scripture with this one. It says it very, very well all by itself in context. Let me read it again. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel that I preached to you, which you have received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you believed in vain. And it tells you very clearly that your gospel is, this gospel of your salvation is by faith. But if faith stops, then all the faith you had used to that point is in vain, huh? Unless, of course, you believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Peter, and then to the 12, and after that He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, even though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and last of all to me. He appeared to me also as one abnormally born. For I am the least of all the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was within me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. Very clear, isn't it? This gospel. It is by faith and of faith. And if faith stops, there is no more salvation. I don't know how much clearer it would have to be for people. But I want you to see something, and we're going to segue here to Romans 5. But notice what he says was of first importance. All right? What is of first importance is the reconciliation. For what I received, he says, I passed on to you as of first importance that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Peter and then to the 12, and so on. You begin to see something here. Our salvation is accomplished in two parts. One part of it has to do with the death of Jesus, and one part has to do with the resurrection of Jesus. Why is it done in two parts like this? Because you are a being of two parts, body and spirit. That's what makes you a living soul. Your salvation is accomplished in these two parts. First, the reconciliation of your spirit, and then the redemption of your body. Now, all of us in here, if we have Christ and the Spirit of Christ dwells in us, then we have the reconciliation of the Spirit. We have been reconciled to a relationship with God through the death of Christ. That's what Jesus' death brings you. That is your faith. But your hope is the resurrection of the dead, what you are standing in faith for. The hope that this gospel holds out is that your body too will be redeemed, and then body and spirit both will be complete in Christ through the resurrection of the dead. So how many of you can see this point? That your reconciliation is Jesus' death, and that your resurrection is Jesus' resurrection. That the reconciliation, Jesus' death, is your faith, and that the hope of this gospel, the resurrection, is your hope. Faith and hope. Faith and hope together. How many of you can see this? We're gonna segue over to Romans chapter 5, and I want to read this to you as it covers the same thing, and then we're going to go to 1 Peter 3 to end this. But first, let's look at Romans chapter 5. Therefore, now we've already seen from 1 Corinthians 15 that faith is not about what you have in your pocket. It's on this faith you've taken your stand. You stand by faith. And let's prove that. Remember what it says in 1 Corinthians 15. It's by faith you have taken your stand. It's on this you have taken your stand, this gospel. Romans 11 tells us this. All right. If some of the branches, verse 17, talking about the olive root, if some of the branches have been broken off and you, though a wild olive shoot, a Gentile believer, have been grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root, do not boast over those branches, those ones that were cut off. If you do, consider this, you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say, then, branches were broken off so I could be grafted in. Granted, but they were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. They were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but be afraid. For if God did not spare the natural branches, He will not spare you either. Consider therefore the kindness and sternness of God. Sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in His kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. Provided that you continue in His kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. Whoa. 1 Corinthians 15 again, where we just read. All this before we get to Romans 5. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, and you've received that you have received, and on which you've taken your stand. How do you stand? By faith. They were cut off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith on this gospel in which you've taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. You hear that? By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you believed in vain. Now compare it. Compare it, what it just said in Romans 11. Provided that you continue in His kindness. There's a proviso there. That's what we call that. A proviso. An if. It's an if statement. A proviso. Yes, you're saved. If. You're saved if you continue in faith, aren't you? You're saved, as it says here in Romans 11, you stand by faith. Don't be arrogant, but be afraid, for if God didn't spare the natural branches, he won't spare you either. Consider therefore the kindness and sternness of God, sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided, that's if, provided that you continue in his kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off. You must continue in his kindness. You must continue in grace. And the way you continue in grace is through faith. This is how you've taken your stand on this gospel. You stand by faith. Don't be arrogant, but be afraid. For if God didn't spare the natural branches, he's not going to spare you either. So we see these two parts, don't we? Our faith in Jesus is his death. Our hope in Jesus is his resurrection. Now, Romans 5 makes this very clear. Since we have now been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How do you have peace with God? Jesus died. To be in death, the wages of sin was death. Jesus died in your place. To be counted in Jesus' death is to be at peace with God. You're no longer God's enemy when the wrath of God has been expended upon you. And it has been expended on Jesus for your behalf. So now you are at peace with God through the death of Christ. So your faith, read it again, that since for we have been justified through faith, you're justified in God's sight through the sacrifice of Christ. So you're justified through faith in that sacrifice, right? Since for we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Now, I've shown you three different verses about standing. Three different verses. 1 Corinthians 15. It is by faith that you've taken your stand on this gospel. Right? Be careful how you stand. Don't be arrogant. They were cut out because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. So you stand by grace through faith. Faith isn't about what you have now. It's what you're standing in faith for. You see those three stand verses? Whenever you're talking to somebody about this, use these three stand verses. Whenever you're talking to somebody about eternal security, talk to them about standing through faith. Can you see the value here? All right. So we have access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. That's your reconciliation to God. You're reconciled through the Spirit. You have access to God. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. What's the hope? The resurrection. Now notice those two things. You have access, reconciliation, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, the resurrection. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not disappoint us. Because God has poured out his love into our hearts, the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. You see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, when you were dead and a sinner, uncircumcised in your heart, when you were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely would anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While you're still sinners, Christ died for you. Since now we have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath? You see, there's two points. There's justification through its death and saved through his resurrection. Hear it again. Since now we have been justified by his blood, reconciliation, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Resurrection. For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, the death as that spiritual reconciliation, relationship with God, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? The resurrection. See it? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. And that's what you have now. That's what you have now of salvation, a reconciliation to God. You stand in faith of Jesus' blood. You stand in faith that sacrifice was enough to bring you peace with God. The death of Jesus is your faith. It is your reconciliation. There is no more obstacle of sin between you and God because of what Jesus did in his death. But remember, it ain't done yet. You still have a resurrection for the redemption of your body. Your faith is in his death. You're reconciled to God. But your hope is in his resurrection, that your body is redeemed. And if you have now been reconciled to Jesus, to God, through the death of Christ, how much more will you be saved through his life? And so you see, there's a difference between saved and reconciliation. There's a big difference between saved and reconciliation. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. And I read this earlier today, and now we need to read it again. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. See, now we're talking about that new birth. The new birth is not the reconciliation. Understand it. How many of you understand that there's a difference between conception and birth? Conception is where life begins, right? How many of you understand that? Conception is where life begins, but birth is where the baby is formed and born. Nobody that is conceived is born yet. Well, guess what? You're still in the womb of the darkness of this earth. You have been conceived, but you ain't been born. You have been given new birth into a living hope. And hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? You were given new birth into a living hope. You weren't given new birth. You were given new birth into a living hope. You have been conceived. The reconciliation. Can you see that the reconciliation through the death of Christ is your conception? But the resurrection of the dead is your birth. You are born again by faith, because that's what a conceived child is, born by faith. It's by faith that he will be a child, provided he continues in his mother's womb and grows, right? But babies can be aborted, can't they? And so can you. Remember what it says, branches were broken off, granted, but they were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. Yes, we are waiting for the birth. We are waiting for to be born again. You are born again now by faith. As a child in the womb is a child by faith, but until it's fully formed and born, it ain't a child, is it? It is by faith. It will be. What it is now does not yet appear. Right? Can you see there's a big difference? Just as there's a difference between conception and birth, there's a difference between reconciliation and resurrection. Just as there's a difference between faith and hope. Faith is your conception in Christ, his death for you, to where you can enter in and come to know the Father. Through faith. But the resurrection is fully formed. Now, as Peter's going to tell you, you have a goal to your faith. It's the salvation of your soul. And that's a way of saying there's a goal to your conception. To be born. The goal of conception is to be born, huh? The goal of faith is resurrection. The goal of faith is the hope. You're starting to see how this works. All right, let's look at this. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. That's where your new birth is. It's associated with the resurrection. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. kept in heaven for you. Of course it's kept in heaven for you. It's spiritual and eternal. Do you have anything now in your hands that's spiritual and eternal? How about the house you live in? Is the house you live in temporary or is it eternal? Let's start to look at this. Let's make a real comparison of what God really wants you to see here. The house you live in, is it temporary or permanent? It's temporary, isn't it? Is the life you have here temporary or permanent? Is the wife or the husband or relationships you have here temporary or permanent? Is the job you have here temporary or permanent? Is in fact, is there anything you can see that's anything more than temporary? Everything you see can and will pass away. So where is your blessings in Christ? Remember what it says in Ephesians 1, you have been blessed in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. You've been blessed in the heavenly realms, not in the flesh. Flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. Whoa, it will pass away. You're in this for the eternal things. So where are you trying to live? In the womb? Compare it. The womb is the temporary dwelling place of the baby, isn't it? But where's the permanent dwelling place of the baby? It's outside the womb. Inside, the baby's being formed. Outside, the baby is fully formed. Well, in your conception as a Christian, in the darkness of this physical, in this world, you're being formed. It's only when you come out of this womb and through the resurrection of the dead that you're fully formed. And there's where your life truly begins. You're in conception. Do you see the point? Is there anything that the baby sees, hears, touches, or feels in that womb that's permanent? Or does his real life begin outside the womb? Is his life there? Is he going to set up and buy a house and plant an IRA in that womb? An individual retirement account? No. It's not meant to hold him forever. That veil of flesh that he's behind is temporary. And guess what? The veil of flesh that you're behind is temporary. And so when it tells us that we have an inheritance kept in heaven for us, who through faith are shielded by God's power, not shielded by God's power, mind you, but who through faith are shielded by God's power, until the coming of the salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. You ain't saved. You're saved through faith. You're conceived. You ain't born. You're born again through faith. Faith is about what you don't yet have, because you don't stand in faith for what you have. You're waiting for that salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time, because when Jesus returns, he brings the resurrection with him. And nobody will receive the resurrection until then. When he turns, that salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. Right now, that inheritance is kept in heaven for you. Your spirit sits in the heavenly realms through faith. That's where your blessings are. It's kept in heaven for you. You don't have it here. You know, if your grandma, have you ever seen this happen? I have. A woman's going to have a baby, and she goes and tells all the in-laws and the grandma and everybody. Grandma goes open and opens a bank account for the baby. She goes and opens a bank account for the baby in the baby's name. But you know what? The baby can't access it until he leaves the womb. Right? Probably until not a long time after that. But he can't access it in the womb. He's got an inheritance. But can he get it while he's in the womb? Can you? While you're in this womb? No, those things are kept in heaven for you. They're eternal things. Because you're still here in this womb. In this you greatly rejoice, though for a little while you've had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine, and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. And though you've not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, the Holy Spirit. For you are receiving the goal of your faith. You are receiving it. A child that's conceived is growing into the child he should be. You are receiving it, the goal of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Salvation is already revealed here in this last time. The resurrection of the dead. Because, and I've got one more thing to add to this. Or rather, the scriptures do. The difference between being conceived and born, the difference between reconciled and redeemed, the difference between born again through faith and born again by the resurrection, the difference in what's in heaven waiting for you and what you have here through faith. Listen to this in Romans 8. Romans 8:15. Romans 8:15. I'm going to read in 14 first. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation. But it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, right? That's the sinful nature. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And we've been talking about receiving that gift of the Holy Spirit all through this, haven't we? His Spirit testifies with your spirit. The Spirit himself, it's by the Spirit we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit of adoption, the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirits we are God's children. Now, if we're children, then we're heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ. If, there's that if they don't like to hear. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. You've got to share in his death to share in his resurrection. You've got to be in that reconciliation before you can be in that resurrection. You've got to share in the sufferings of Christ in order to share in his glory. It just told you that. So you have right now the spirit of adoption, don't you? That testifies with your spirit that you are God's children. If indeed you share in his sufferings. But he goes on to say in verse 22, but we know the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. You got to be born again through the resurrection of the dead, out of this creation, out of this womb, out of the physical into the spiritual. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that Spirit of adoption, we who have that already, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. Woo! There it is again. You have that Spirit of reconciliation in you, don't you? The Holy Spirit. Saying that you are God's Son, that Spirit of sonship, that Spirit of adoption. But the true adoption of sons is salvation. The redemption of the body. So no matter how you compare it, whether you talk about having the spirit of adoption versus being adopted through the resurrection, whether you talk about having the spirit of reconciliation versus the redemption of your body, whether you talk about that now you're saved through faith through the actual versus actually through the resurrection of the dead, whether you're talking about being a child in the womb, conceived, or whether you're a child fully formed, born. It all comes out to the same thing, doesn't it? Jesus' death is your reconciliation to God through the Spirit, and Jesus' resurrection is the redemption of your body. Because through the reconciliation, your spirit is joined in the heavenly realms through faith. And through the redemption, your body is joined. So that you're in this for the goal of your faith, the salvation of your soul. And your soul is body and spirit together as one. So the true birth is the adoption of sons, the redemption of our bodies, isn't it? There's no way around it, is there? So what you have now, you have by faith. You are conceived, waiting to be born. Standing in faith, on which you have taken your stand, the sacrifice of Christ and his resurrection. That's of first importance, as Paul said, isn't it? Remember those three stand verses. Be careful how you stand, lest you fall. Because what you have now, you have by faith. It's an awesome message, isn't it? Is that a clarity of the gospel message? I mean, seriously, have you ever really looked at these scriptures and heard it that clearly? That your salvation has these two parts because you're a person of two parts. Body and spirit make a soul. Conception and birth make a child. Jesus' death and resurrection make you a living soul. That's our gospel. And there ain't another one. It's a good place to stop. Questions or comments?